Now, here's a question for you. Why in the world were you falling back into sin? Why in the world was that happening? You have to put the mask on. Somebody else mentioned sin. I want to know, why in the world were you falling back into sin? This is a trick question. It's not really a trick question. It's one that will trip you up if you don't understand the answer to this. So think about this for a minute. Why in the world would you fall back into sin? Your answer to this question is going to tell me whether or not you're a Christian. So go ahead. And I will judge you. Oh my goodness. Whew, that gave me goosebumps. That was so well said. I sometimes forget that I've been made new and I yield to what? The old man said, I don't think that's it. That there ain't true. Okay, I mean, theologically, that's not true. Can you, somebody tune that up? Yes, you indulge yourself. Where's the tune up there? Flat. Old man's been crucified. Old man doesn't exist. And this is a small thing because a lot of people equate the old man with the flesh, not the same guy. Read Romans 6:6. The old man is crucified, gone, right? Well, then what's going on? Well, you still have the flesh. That's not the old nature, as the NIV loves to interpret that word. Whenever it says sarx, they call it old nature or sin nature. It's not your sin nature. You don't have a sin nature. You have a Jesus nature. Do you realize that? Your nature is holiness. Your nature is rightness. Your nature is love. Your nature is Jesus. That's your nature. Read the Ten Commandments. That's your DNA. That's not what you're supposed to be. That's who you are. You are the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that? You just got to recognize that, because sometimes we forget. We fall back into old habits. We play old tapes. We think for somehow that's us. No, that ain't you. That's the old things that you learned. That's the old habits that you formed. That's not you. If you're in Christ, if you're not in Christ, it's a whole different story. You got an old man and you got the flesh and you got the sin nature. If you're not in Christ, good luck. See, that Romans 7 guy is Romans 7. Remember Romans 7? You come out of Romans 6 where he's been set free, Romans 5 and 6. Romans 7, this guy says, man, I do that which I don't want to do. That which I want to do, I can't do. I'm pulling my hair out. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin and flesh? Romans 7, right? That guy's stuck. And every Christian that I know points me back to Romans 7. Oh, tell me you don't have a sin nature. Read Romans 7. Even Paul wrestled with sin. Even Paul couldn't shake it. Even Paul had a sin nature that he had to fight. He wanted to do good, but he couldn't do good. Time out. Really? That can't possibly be what Paul was talking about, because the next line is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, I've been set free from this. What? Then what was that? That was a pause between Romans 6 going to Romans 8. What's Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They've been set free from the law of sin and death. What? That's victory, baby. Romans 8 is all victory. All of Romans 8 is all victory. Romans 6 is getting set free. Romans 7 is a pause. Wait a minute. Before I take you to the victory lap, before I take you to this incredible showroom of amazing transformation, just let me remind you, you tried doing law, didn't you? You tried being good, didn't you? You tried not sinning, didn't you? Ha! How'd that go? Wretched man that I am. I can't break that. And in Jesus Christ, done. You've been set free. Now you move to Romans 8. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great? It's a pause between 6 and 8. They stop at 7 and go, before I take you there, just remember how awful this was. Just remember what law is like. Just remember, you Jew, how hard it is to be a Jew and to stay Jewish and to do the Jew stuff. I'm going to show you victory. It's called Jesus. It's called transformation. That's the cure. Remembering you have been made new. Old things have passed away. New things have come. He who knew no sin became sin so that you can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Are you in Christ? Yes, you're the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You could stand before the throne room of heaven right now and not be ashamed because you're in Christ. You've been made new. You're a new creature. A new creature. Not neos, kainos. I've talked about that. New, I got a new pair of shoes. Or kainos, I got a new kind of shoes. My old ones, I got them new. Now they're fresh and they look nice. Same shoes, just newer. Kainos, these suckers make me levitate. They make me invisible. I can walk through walls. That's kainos. That's a kainos thing. You're a kainos creature. Okay, you get all that? That's what Ephesians is about. That's where we're going. That's the whole story of Paul. And Paul knew this so well. He was so excited that he was willing to be ripped apart stitch by stitch like a rag doll in every town. Do you know how many times he's telling glory, glory, God is awesome. You've been set free. There's been transformation. Get this. You guys, you're going to love this. What? Rip him up. And he had to be rescued over and over from being ripped apart because he was telling people there ain't no law for you if you're in Christ. There's a new way. It's called Jesus. And that's the whole story of Paul's ministry was pushing Jesus, pushing Jesus, pushing Jesus. Now, as we're reading Ephesians, it's going to start right off with your transformation. Chapter 1, your transformation. Chapter 2, how he made the two men one. The two men being Jew, Gentile. Now there's this one thing called church, called you and me. That's why you don't go to church. You are the church. This one thing called church, that's who you are. And then he applies all these things to your life throughout the rest of Ephesians. Now, what's fascinating is you can go to Acts 18, 19, and 20. That's where Paul does his Ephesians ministry. So Paul had a lot of ministry. Read Acts and you'll see Paul's three missionary journeys where he travels around the Mediterranean and then comes back. Then he travels again over here and he comes back. But most of his world is around the Mediterranean. Three separate missionary journeys as he travels and plants churches and as he comes back and checks on those very same churches. And then he goes back out again and he brings funds to those churches and encouragement to those churches. And then he comes back and he always is coming back to around Jerusalem, Antioch, you know, that area. So Paul's doing these journeys and we're going to encounter these little towns that he goes to as we get into Ephesians. But if you go to Acts, it maps out Paul's entire life, his whole journey, all the way up to where he gets shipwrecked and bitten by a snake. Remember that? And then it doesn't, that's it. That's the end of what it records. But you can find the rest of his ministry in various other of the epistles. So here's my point. Acts 18 through 20 is just his Ephesians ministry. Okay, Acts 18, 19, and 20. We're going to look there today. Well, some of it today. I'm doing an introduction to Ephesians so that you understand this beautiful context. What is Ephesus? What do they know of Paul's ministry? What did Paul do there? Why did God have him in Ephesus of all places? Because there's a lot going on all around him. Why did God have him there? That's why we're doing this long intro. And I'm going to intro as long as it takes to get through the information. So again, just reminding ourselves of what Ephesus is. Remember, Ephesus was a town that had a bunch of crazy wild stuff. Beautiful archaeology, beautiful architecture. But this map is awesome. We'll see this map many, many times. It's the Mediterranean, and you can see way over here would be Spain and France and all of that. Down below is Africa, and you see Alexandria, which is in Egypt. Going right up the coast right there, you see Israel, Lebanon, Syria. Then you see Ephesus in big letters. That's Turkey. That whole patch of land up there is Asia Minor. Now, we've already gone over that, but just in review, that's Asia Minor. And this was the place that had that incredible Colosseum, the Temple of Diana. Paul made Ephesus the center of his evangelism for about 3 years. So that's what we're going to look at. Taught daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. The church grew and flourished there for some time, and then
When you see the seven letters to the seven churches, this is the edge of what we had just looked at on the map, is the edge of Asia Minor. And all these churches that you see written to in Revelation, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, ending with Laodicea. That's the mountain pass that they would take, the postal route, and that's the seven letters. Each one of those churches are real churches, real places, real people, real experiences. Each one of those churches were addressed in the book of Revelation, chapter, what, 2 and 3, really? That's about it. Each one of those churches were addressed, and in each of those, he addresses three things to each of them. We talked about this last week, but I'm going to go over it again because it's so important. To each church, he has a commendation, a complaint, and a correction. This would be true in our lives, standing before the Lord. He would say, man, well done. I love what you did there. But I want to share something with you. And if you do it God's way, it's going to be enough to get you really upset, but not to crush you. And then he's going to say, but here's how it can be corrected. This is what he's doing in your life. He will show you things that he wants to work through and correct in your life. And it's a process. So he does this for each of these seven churches. And many people, historians say, each of those churches represent various phases of the Christian walk, or various types of Christians. Lazy Christian, a self-righteous Christian, you know, a very religious Christian. Each one of those. But he deals with each of them, and then he says, I want to deal with this in your life. Christian, he's talking to you. This can easily be applied to Christians. So he may be working in some of these areas. But what I love about this is, look at this is Ephesus. This is what his issues were with Ephesus. So remember, it starts off with commendation. He says, man, you guys work hard. He says, I appreciate your hard work. I appreciate your perseverance. You rejected the wicked false apostles. People said they were apostles, they were not. You preserved, you endured hardship, and you've not grown weary in doing the good things of the Lord. Well, this is a great church. These are great people. They're filled with the Spirit. They're doing the good stuff. Well, I have this complaint. And this is an interesting complaint. You have forsaken your first love. Now listen, Christian. This is a typical thing in Christians' lives. You get started, you're all rambunctious, you're all excited, you love the Lord, you're growing. Remember those first days? Man! And you got involved in the women's Bible study, and you got excited. Do you remember your first days with Jesus? And you're reading your Bible, and you're talking to your friends about it, and it's an exciting, buzzing time. You're intoxicated with the things of God. What happened? What happened to that? Remember those days? Now you're busy. You got kids, you got work, you got things to do. And yeah, you're going to church, and yeah, you're helping on the committee, and you're involved in the board. You're doing those things. Those are good. Yay, good for you. Where's your first love? Remember, it was about Jesus? And then you found out you were good at a couple things, and then you found out they needed you for a couple other things, and then you were involved. Now you got your church life going on, and suddenly, after about 2 years, you look around you and you go, I don't have a single non-church friend. I don't have any friends that don't know Jesus. We get into churchianity and we lose our passion. We lose our first love. Oh, we're good at looking good. We're good at being good. But I'm telling you, it's easy to get caught up in church, right? Oh, folks, we don't do that here at The Way, do we? I don't like that church. I've visited The Way, and those guys have a koinonia time, and that's really uncomfortable. And you know, sometimes we're an uncomfortable church. Why? Because we're pretty out there. We're pretty just like, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. I really like this. I'm not so sure I like this. And those guys that were at The Way, they're all like this. Yeah, well, I'm telling you, if you're looking at that picture of the mask guy and the guy with the mask off, who do you want to hang out with? Well, I think you want to hang out with the guy with the halo and the sparkly teeth. Except that's not the real anybody. That's just a mask. And you fall in love with that mask and you don't know who the person is. You ever realize after 2 or 3 years of a relationship with somebody that you don't know them? Like, how is it possible? Well, because they got a pretty good mask. Then you fell in love with the mask. You were drawn to the mask. You hang out with the mask and you don't even know who's under that mask. We want to be these people. And yet what you'll find is when that mask comes off and you get to know those unmasked people, they're even more beautiful than that silly mask because they're real. Real people. Oh, friends, that's what we want to be. When you go through Ephesians, you're going to find that's what he's calling us to do. That's the two becoming one. That's the God patching things up. That's where he wants us to go. So as we get into Ephesus, Ephesians, you're going to see amazing transformations. Complaint, you've forsaken your first love. So easy to get it all about the masks, all about looking pretty. Christianity is pretty dang simple. It's simple. Just let God love you. That's Christianity. Just let him love you. And then let that love spill over to others. That's it. Let him love you and then go love others. It's that simple. That's what God's calling us to, guys. That's what he wants us to be. We want to strip away the religion and get down to the real stuff. And then his correction. Repent and return. Do the things you used to do. Repent. What does the word repent mean? Turn around. It's easy. Turn around. Go the other way. What are you thinking? You were heading this way. You were loving me. We had a great relationship. And all of a sudden you... Turn around. Knock it off. Quit doing that stuff. And he says it's such an easy... I love the way he says it. Just repent. Return. Do the things that you used to do. Remember the times we had together? Just do that. And then... Oh, I'm not going to go for... That's more in Revelation. And he says, and if you don't, well, I'm going to take your lampstand. What? If you don't, it's not going to be pretty. And he gets a little threat going there. And we'll look at that. He's not going to take your lampstand away. You're not going to find yourself without Jesus. That's not what he's saying. He'll take away your testimony, though. Your ability to really impact people. Your ability to make a difference in this world. That's what the lampstand is. And if you don't turn around and get away from this religiosity, you don't get away from churchianity, you're not going to impact anybody. You're just going to create more of these masked people, and they won't be free. They won't be full of love and joy. You know, I've been accused, strangely, of laughing too much. Well, thank you, Jesus. I want to laugh a lot. I want to be a little bit silly, a little bit glib, a little bit fun. I've heard that sometimes over there at the Way, they're having fun. God forbid. This is a church. I want to have a lot of fun. Don't you? And that's why I say go play. Because if you're walking in Christ, if you're full of the Spirit and you're walking in Christ, shouldn't that be fun? And fun happens every day. Fun happens. We stop for gas, and before we get out of the gas station, we're sharing Christ. We're loving somebody. My wife will just spontaneously stop and pray for somebody. So I was telling somebody, a testimony for Betsy, is some lady came. We're part of a group that gives stuff away. It's called Buy Nothing. If you got junk and you want to give it away, then there's people that's part of this Buy Nothing group. And it's a pretty cool group because it's very geographical, and those people are sifted. We know their name, their number. They're nice people, and there's no weirdos in that group. I don't know how we got in, but we're in there. But it's really fun. And this lady came the other day to pick something up that Betsy said, I'll put it out on the porch, you know. And so she came by, and I'm helping her load it up. What was it? What was that lady? I forget. We've given away so many things. Oh, it was the nightstands. So I'm loading it up, and she says, is Betsy here? I'm like, oh, you know Betsy. I didn't know. Oh, yeah. She says, guess what? Last year I came to pick something up, and Betsy was asking me, how am I doing? I don't know why I'm talking like that. And she found out that I had cancer, and I had a 7-inch tumor. She had just been diagnosed, and she was scared. And Betsy said, let me pray with you. You know, she came to pick up nightstands. Betsy's praying with her. Man, I love that girl. She prayed with her, and she said, I forgot to tell her. I'm cancer-free, completely cancer-free. Oh, I said, let me go get her. So they got to have a little time of prayer and praise and hugging each other because she gave away a nightstand or whatever. That's God. Get back to the things you used to do. Get back to the fun. Get back to all that. Forget all the religiosity and all the must-do, you know, have-to, all that. No, it's get-to. Somebody said that. Our friend Jordan said that. I get to go to church. I get to fellowship. I get to shine the light of Jesus. I get to tell people of his goodness. I get to. Oh, we are the most blessed people. We're not Jews. We're not Gentiles. We are the church. We are powerful, and he's given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways harm me. Luke 10:19. Is that a weird verse? If that's true, woo, we are Superman in every aspect. The only kryptonite in our world is people that lie to us about our identity. And the most people that lie to us is us, ourselves. We are dynamic, powerful, world-changing men and women of God. There's no one like us but us. Now watch. As this secret gets known, more and more people will come. More and more people will be changed. And you're going to start hearing more and more about the way where those people are laughing. They're laughing there. They're having fun. I go to church every Sunday, and I am on this committee, and I do that and that. Are you having fun?
Well, not really.
Why don't you try the way? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we're going to get into where I'm going to show you 10 places where the way is mentioned, and it ain't pretty. They're trying to kill the way because it's so threatening. We're going to see that. The way. Oh, and those people of the way. Those people of the way. They keep doing this. They keep doing that. It's a threat. I love the name. When I found this church and I found that name, I'm like, that's the name. That's the church. I want to be a part of that. I already am. At least we're declaring it. I love that. Thank you. I think it was Jesse put that name on there. Was it? The elders of the team. What a great name. I know a lot of pastors come to church and they change the name. You know, okay? No way. I love that name. I can't think of a better name for a church. Hey, let's go to the way. We are the way. Yeah. Paul in Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. We're going to start there. That verse next week, 18:19, and just read through this thing that happened with Paul. So Paul's over in Greece. He's doing some ministry there. He meets up with Priscilla and Aquila. They're tent makers. What does Paul do for a living? He's a tent maker. They must have needed a lot of tents back then, because this was a good job. And so he hooks up with people that do his thing, and then they all come together across the water to Ephesus over there in Asia Minor. And at that point, Priscilla and Aquila and Paul kind of go their own ways. And Paul strikes out and has this ministry we're gonna follow. And then he hooks up with a couple other buddies, and you'll see that. And you're gonna watch how Christianity spreads. It's an amazing story. We're gonna walk through this. And there's a lot of details, but I don't want to miss them. They're too precious. We're talking about Ephesians, but we're going to be in Acts 18, 19, and 20 for the next couple weeks, because I want you to see those chapters, Acts 18, 19, 20, is Paul's Ephesian ministry. He does ministry everywhere, but we're going to focus on his Ephesian ministry. Then we're going to go into Ephesus and see what it was that he was teaching those people. But first, we got to know who those people were, what they were dealing with. They were very unique, and why Paul chose that to be a focus of his ministry for so long. It's an amazing thing to watch. I get goosebumps just telling you where we're going. And we're getting there a step at a time. Because we got summer. Let's make it our summer thing. Is we're going to just feast on Ephesus. I have, by the way, folks, the Bible in my phone. Do you have the Bible in your phone? I have it. Via Audible. I downloaded it. It's a freaking long download. It's this guy.
One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For with you.
I love this guy.
And no one is going to attack or harm you.
Okay, so I play that all the time. I play it when I go to bed. I play it when I wake up. We go to bed to this guy, David Suchet, reading the Bible. And I love his voice. He's kind of British, and he's kind of Middle Eastern, and he's got this gravelly voice. I've fallen in love with his voice. To me, it's the voice of God now. But get something like that. And so I've just been playing Ephesians and just looping it. I'm just playing Ephesians. I'm playing Ephesians. I'm very familiar with Ephesus right now. I've been playing these three chapters of Acts, just looped them. I looped them. So for the last 3 weeks, I've been listening to David read about Acts. I highly recommend you get an Audible Bible. Even if you're driving, even if you're out working in the garden, even if you're house cleaning, or if you're just taking a nap, put it on. I tell you, it gets in you even though you don't even know it. It seeps in, and all of a sudden you're quoting verses you didn't even know you knew because you're saturating yourself with the Word of God. You can't go wrong with that. Get into Ephesians, get into Acts. What chapters? 18, 19, 20. Oh, all right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Can you stand with me? I hope you got something out of it. The main thing I want you to know is God loves you. He's working to get rid of those masks. He wants to make you transparent. He's working in every aspect of your life. And you may be in a process where he compliments, complaints, and corrects. You may be at a place with him on one of those things, getting some compliments, getting some complaints. Hey, want to work on this? That's the Holy Spirit working on you. And some correction, just building you, changing you. So you're in process, and all of us as the body of Christ are growing in Christ and growing in love with each other. Keep reading The Cure. Keep trying to understand each of those rooms. Try to understand your involvement with that process of becoming truly transparent. Oh, man. Let's pray. This is good stuff, Lord. I mean, there's nothing that isn't fun. There's nothing that isn't challenging. There's nothing that's a waste. It's all good stuff. We're learning on so many levels right now. And I thank you that you brought us here to the way. I thank you that I thank you that our truck got here. That was a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we're getting sorted out. We're getting settled in. And we're getting started on a really fun journey. Can't wait for what's coming ahead. But right now, we thank you. We praise you. You're doing so many wonderful things. And I pray for every single person that's a part of this congregation, those who are yet to come, that they'll learn to remove these masks, learn to fall back into your arms, trust your love, trust your grace, trust your timing. Sometimes we want it done yesterday, and you've got your timing. Be still and know that I am God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Hallelujah. Rest. Be still in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go play.